This episode is sponsored by My Race Time Tracker. To learn more about how to track and share your races, visit MyRaceTimeTracker.com. You're listening to the Embrace Running Podcast. I'm Mark.
I'm Elena, and this is episode number 106 for January 28th, 2014.
Welcome to the podcast where we talk about running every week.
Or sometimes not running every week.
That's true.
Yeah.
Although I guess I'll share today, I've been pretty consistent, pretty happy, so I'm actually really happy with how my running is going, but we'll get to that.
So right now it's running every week.
Yes.
Yeah.
And several times a week. Should include that, right? Yeah. Not just doing a one-time thing.
Right.
So what are we going to be talking about today? A little running news, share our week. Going to talk a little bit about kind of nutrition and eating leading up to a race.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're going to actually do, we had a survey that we ran for like a month, and we thank everybody that participated in that. And as we kind of said we would do, we're going to actually share the results of that, because if you took the survey, you might be curious what other people said,
mm-hmm.
or how they answered. I come from the point, you know, we always do like surveys for like restaurants and hotels and stuff, and you never hear anything about it. You never get any feedback on
right.
what you responded. So I wanted to share that, but we're going to do it at the very end of the episode. So we're going to go through kind of a normal episode, go through all our topics, do our feedback, and then that's kind of the end of the normal show. And then we'll talk a little bit about the survey after that. So if you don't care about the survey, that's fine. I'm not holding it against you or anything.
Right.
You can just check out after the feedback.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're curious about what people said in the survey, you can stick around and hear that afterwards.
Yeah. You're going to have to stay until the end.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like the little extra scene in the credits, right?
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
All right. Let's jump into our week in training. I'll let you go first.
All right. I had a pretty good week. So this was coming back from my previous week of, I think it was like 3.5 miles total because I was sick. So comeback week for me. So feeling pretty good. Actually got 2 days of weight training in. No days on the bike, but I know that's always a perpetual issue with me. And hopefully, I say it every time, hopefully that changes sometime soon. Maybe next week it'll be better. But I did get 5 days of running in with like, I think just over 48 and a half miles. So that's a good week.
That's right back into
it. Yeah. And thankfully, my foot's holding on. I'm doing okay. It's literally holding on. I'm doing okay. Not really any pain or anything. And I actually got 2 trail runs in, which is odd because usually I only get one in, mm-hmm. you know, like 1 day of the weekend. But because of the holiday, which I forget which holiday it was. But
Martin Luther King.
Okay, yeah. That holiday, I actually got a trail run in on that day. So I actually got 2 days in. And both were really good runs. That one, the only thing I wanted to mention that is just kind of funny, there was... It's, you know, I was running around a lake and there was, you know, it hasn't rained in Northern California in I don't know how long. So it's a lot of like stagnant water now. Mm-hmm. And there's like little gnats and bugs and stuff. And I was running and there's all kinds of bugs. And I was trying not to, you know, breathe them in or eat them or anything. But I knew one of them had flown in my mouth and I thought I had just swallowed it. And then later on, I felt something like on my front tooth. I'm like, oh, there's something on my tooth, you know, but I had forgotten about it, you know. And I'm like, oh, like what's like, I haven't really eaten anything. Like what's, you know, I've just been like running, you know, goo and that sort of thing. I'm like, what's on my tooth? And then I went to scrape it off and it was the bug.
Nice.
It had somehow, I guess, just hit my front tooth. I guess I have big front teeth. I don't know if that's what stopped it. So anyways, but it was a good run. And then I did, on the weekend, I did do a trail run on Saturday. I was out there for about 3 hours and it was tough, but mm-hmm. that's what I need to do to prep for Way Too Cool 50K, which is early March. I guess I should know the exact date, but I don't know off the top of my head, but it's in early March. So I did a 3 hour run then. And then the next day I was pretty tired after that. And then the next day I did a 10 and a half miler non trail, but not flat mm-hmm. turns out. Cause I need to do kind of back to back days to kind of get myself used to running on tired legs and just being tired and kind of pushing on. So, and I know last year when I did Way Too Cool, that was one of the things that I felt I kind of lacked or needed more of, is just more like time on my feet and being on tired legs. So it was a tiring weekend, but it was a good weekend leading up to Way Too Cool. That's what I'm training for. That's kind of my next big race, big event. I am still training for Big Sur, but that's kind of a secondary thing. So I'm kind of treating this as almost like back-to-back marathons in a way, like Way mm-hmm. Too Cool and then several weeks later Big Sur. So my focus right now is the 50K. So that was pretty much my week. Oh, I did I forgot about the trail runs. I actually, when I was running, you know, you just think about all kinds of different things, you know, just randomness. And then I came up with, I actually have 5 stages of my trail runs.
That's okay? Right. You were sharing with us.
Right. I almost forgot about that. It's a good thing I wrote it down. So I don't know if anybody will find this funny. And then once I thought about it, I'm like, well, I can almost adapt this to any run in a way mm-hmm. or a race. But so, okay. So bear with me here. So my first stage is I start running on the trail, and especially if there's some sort of incline, I'm like, oh, this is hard. My legs are tired. I'm out of breath. Oh my gosh. You know, like, how long am I supposed to be out here for? Maybe I need to cut it short. Okay, so that's like stage one. And then my second stage is, ooh, this is fun. Like, I'm out and, you know, on the trail, and there's birds, and the sun's out, and, you know, just breathing fresh air. You know, you're just like having a good time, and, you know, going downhill. You're like, this is fun. Yeah, I feel like a kid just running down the hill. Maybe you'll see some animals. In my case, I actually saw cows on one of my runs, deer on a different one. So you're just like having a good time. And maybe that's because you've like warmed up too. You know, like your body's had time to kind of adjust and warm up. And then my third stage is, oh, this is hard. I'm tired. How long have I been out here? You know, like, how many more miles is it back to the car? And, oh, I have to climb that and go back down and climb that, you know, to get to the car. So that's stage three. And then stage four is, I'm almost at the car. I think I'm only like a mile away. I can get there. Okay, you know, I get back to the car. You know, I'm almost done. And I have like whatever waiting for me. In this case, it was actually a little bit of a warm day. So I knew I had some cold chocolate milk. I'm like, yes. Okay, cold chocolate milk. I'm almost there. And then once like I'm done and I get to the car, I'm like, wow, that was tough. You know, I'm kind of tired, but it was fun. When do I get to do it again? So it's like kind of like a full circle thing. Mm-hmm. So I was just out there thinking, you know, about just stuff. And that's what I came up with. So I don't know if you relate to that at all with any of your runs.
No, I can actually.
Like, it doesn't have to even be a trail run necessarily. You can just change some of the, you know, for any run.
No, I can relate quite a bit, actually.
Yeah.
Because it's the same thing for me, you know. It's first things like, oh, this is tough. Legs are stiff, you know, gotta loosen up. And then it gets better.
Right. You're like, I feel good.
And then it will get harder at some point again. Yeah. And, you know, at some point you see that finish line.
Right.
Whether, you know, it's a training run or race, you know.
Yeah.
And then afterwards. I'm trying to think, have I ever finished a race or finished a run and go, I wish I hadn't done that? I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so.
You know, it's
so.
One of those things you never regret a run that
right.
you do. So, yeah, I guess I can relate, actually.
Yeah, so I think even though, like, I was thinking, like, oh, these are, like, my five stages of my trail runs, it's really just the five stages of, like, just running.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I mean, people can add stages, take stages out, I don't know, but just, yeah.
Might be more extreme when you're trail running just because, you know, if you're hitting hills right away and
right,
climbing tough trails, it's even a little more amplified than just being out on a flat run or something like that. So,
yeah. So, yeah, I just wanted to share
that. Elena's five stages of trail running.
Or
running, I guess.
Yeah, or running. Yeah. We'll see if anybody finds that interesting or if it was like, duh, like that's like what everybody goes
yeah,
through.
We all do that all the time.
What are you talking about? This isn't just you. And then I actually did sign up for another race, although I'm using it as a training run.
Okay.
So I'm doing a 30K in... a week? No, a week and a half.
Okay.
Yeah, like 10 days. So I'm going to be doing that.
So which one are you doing?
I'm doing Golden Gate 30K. I didn't say that?
No.
Oh, Golden Gate 30K out by the bay. I'm not exactly sure where, but I'll figure it out before I get there. But it's a sure way for me to get a supported 18-mile training run.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be good.
Yeah, and we always keep on our website a list of races that we're going to be doing.
Right.
So that one's not there right now, but I'll make sure I put it on there.
Okay, so we'll be there.
It will be there by the time anybody listens to this. Hopefully, it'll be there. So,
yeah.
Anything else for your week?
That's it.
All right, I guess I'm jumping into my week.
Yeah,
I might have a lot to say. I don't know. I might ramble today. We'll see.
I felt like I just rambled, so then we're on the same page.
Nah, I feel like, well, I don't know.
Okay.
Let's see. This concluded week 3 of 16 weeks to Big Sur.
Okay.
I guess, right? I'm on track with that, right? And another good week. I'm only doing 3 days a week running. And got my 3 runs in, got exactly all the mileage I was supposed to get in. So 3 weeks of not missing a single mile. So
That's pretty awesome.
I'm very happy about that. I've been running consistent. My pace actually picked up the pace quite a bit. And so that's a good thing. Was actually a cutback week on my long run a little bit. Long run was only 10. If you actually look at my daily mile says I did 30 miles this week, although it was because of the holiday on the Monday.
Mm-hmm.
So on daily mile, it counts as this week. For me, my personal keeping track or my own personal running log, I'm counting that Monday as the previous week. And so this week's running was Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday. So I did back-to-back days on the weekend, which I don't normally do.
Yeah.
Because my legs don't like. And did 3.5 on Saturday, followed by the 10 on Sunday. Felt good on Saturday. Sunday, when I started out, definitely the legs felt a little bit tired from running the day before. I said, don't often run back-to-back. I think like Ragnar's when I usually do my back-to-back running. Outside of that, not doing it that often and not necessarily going to start anytime soon.
Yeah, yeah, but just the way it worked out.
Yeah, but I just didn't have time at the beginning of the week and I had to stick to my training plan. So,
right.
I had to shuffle things around and move mileage a little bit, but worked out. Sunday was the 10-miler. And I had a real plan going into my 10-miler. Mm-hmm. Because the week before, I had kind of faded at the end of doing 12. And so I said, okay, I'm cutting back to 10 this week. I really want to be consistent and not fade at the end of this 10-miler. So went out to do this 10-miler. My plan in my head to make this... I know. See, I'm rambling, but that's okay.
No, you're not rambling. It's just like you're painting a picture and you're telling a story. So I'm
went out to
ready.
Do this 10. My plan was to be super consistent. I took my handheld water bottle because I wasn't sure whether there was going to be water out there or not, or when. So I had my bottle with me. My plan was to, every mile, take a really short, quick walk break, kind of similar to like an aid station.
Okay, yeah.
So just kind of, and that was my chance to drink water out of the bottle. Mm-hmm. And other than that, I didn't really take anything off the bottle. So I figured that would slow me down in the beginning. And then maybe the last few miles would kind of give me a little break to keep me going.
Mm-hmm.
And so I nailed that plan for 5 miles. And then actually did the run out at a regional park, kind of a nice area. It's actually paved in the regional park, but I did 2.5 out and then 2.5 back, so 5 miles. And then I had to leave the park to kind of hit the streets and some paths along the streets that I wasn't super familiar with.
Right.
So I didn't really know where I was going. It's kind of weird.
But you knew there was paths there.
I knew there was paths.
You've driven by it and that sort of thing.
I was going out there and I wasn't exactly sure how I was getting back to the car.
Yeah.
But I knew I could go that way. And then at some point I had to turn around and come back and I could, you know. But the one thing I didn't realize was how hilly it was going to be. So,
agreed.
Super, super hilly. And that kind of threw everything out the window in terms of keeping a nice steady pace the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
The good thing is I don't want to use the word attacked all the hills, but I definitely ran all the hills. I know I talked a lot about walking hills at the end of last year, and even I think New Year's 5K, I walked a lot of hills. And on this Sunday run, I really attacked all the hills. I didn't necessarily run up every single one all the way to the top.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm a little out of practice when it comes to running hills. But definitely attacked them and felt pretty good. So my pace dipped in the middle there. But then the last mile and a half, was either flat or downhill. And I definitely had to push the pace to kind of make up some time. And did that and felt good. And finished kind of with a pace overall that I was super happy with. Considering there was like 3 miles of hills that mm-hmm. I had to do. Felt really good. Hit the pace, you know, better than what I expected. Had it even been flat. So I was super happy with how that went, and if anything, I think I found a place to go either do some hill repeats at some point in time.
Yeah.
Or I think I figured out how to do a little 5 mile loop now that incorporates quite a bit of hills. So
that'll be good for Big Sur.
Right. Big Sur, known to be hilly, especially one big hill between 10 and 12. Overall, I mean, went really well for the week. I'm actually feeling, I think it's safe to say at this point, I'm feeling the best I've felt since July. The knee hasn't really been affecting my running at all. I don't want to say my knee is 100%,
right,
but we're creeping into 95-96%, and let's face it, most of us as runners are probably never at 100%,
right?
If you've been running,
like, we're
long
happy
enough
with 90-95%. That's pretty good.
It's funny, I'll kind of digress into, we did that coaching certification a week ago now, huh?
Yeah.
And the instructor kind of asked the class there, who here has had an injury? Basically everybody raised their hand. A running injury.
Right.
Everybody raised their hand except for one, and we kind of all gave her a hard time. And finally, she actually did come around and realized that she had been injured in the past.
Right.
I think she just kind of blocked it out of her head or something. And then, you know, it was kind of like, who's dealing with an injury or something that's aching or bothering you right now? And I think it was a little bit more than half the class raised their hand.
Yeah.
So we're always going through something at some point in time. So, so super happy with the week. I think I was telling you yesterday that, you know, so much more excited for running right now because it's amazing how much funner it is when you're feeling better.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have like some injury or some pain that basically is going to slow you down at some point in time.
Or like some part of you, isn't it like 50%?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or less.
And then the one thing I was telling you too that I realized was kind of dealing with the knee issue that I had the last 6 months of last year, I guess. I kind of feel like I've trained my body to fade at the end of runs.
Yeah, you did mention that.
So
you have to try to untrain that part.
Yeah. I mean, the problem I had with my knee was, I mean, sometimes it was bad right off the start, but it would always get progressively worse the more mileage I ran. Mm-hmm. So I was always walking more and running slower and walking slower towards the end of races and longer runs. And I almost feel like I spent 5 months training to run slow at the end. And now I kind of have to flip it around and work on getting that out of my system and just being able to finish runs off and finish races off. Although I think the biggest difference will just be running more miles because
mm-hmm.
I just really didn't get to train enough miles at the end of last year. So,
From what you're saying, it sounds like you've already seen some results with that.
Yeah.
Like even with the 10 miler that you did?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Finishing the 10 felt pretty good. I'll see you next weekend. I'm back up to 14.
Okay.
So we'll see how that'll go. I think mm-hmm. that's going to be difficult. I definitely pushed the pace quite a bit this past week. So I might take one day to run a little bit slower and then kind of get right back out there with pushing some good pace on the runs and, mm-hmm. and see how it goes. But I think the 14 will be tough, but looking forward to it. I should mention that you kind of had the bug issue.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I had the same thing. I had a bug flu in my
mouth. On your front tooth?
No.
Oh.
So a bug flew in my mouth, and I was like, I think a bug just flew in my mouth.
Yeah.
And so I'm like doing a bunch of spitting, trying to spit it out, and I just assumed it was out. Just kept on running. I thought I'd spit a couple more times. And then ran like half a mile, and then I was like, oh, there's something in my mouth, and I kind of pulled something out, and it was the bug. So it was just kind of hanging out in my mouth for about half a mile.
Yeah.
So just really weird. I kind of know what you were feeling there. What else? I'm supposed to be doing some cross training. I did actually get on the bike one day this week. I almost skipped over it just like I skipped over it during the week. But I did spend my one day on the bike. So got
the
back
whole day?
To that.
No, just no, kidding.
That would be
No,
really
that's
bad.
Good though. That's
Yeah, no, got my bike in. Didn't get my rowing day in. And in 3 weeks, I've yet to do really any strength training or core work. I just haven't figured out how to get that in the schedule or get it done. So, but I mean, the number one most important thing for me has just been getting the running.
Mm-hmm.
And the mileage in.
Consistent.
And then number two was the bike and the rowing days, which I'll give myself like a C
mm-hmm.
on that if I was grading myself, I guess. But the running, I give myself an A, C on the biking and the rowing, and I guess an F on strength and core work.
Okay. That's
so,
fair.
Yeah. But also I want to mention, I ordered some new shoes, actually got them already and wore them already. So I bought some new Hokas.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, Running Warehouse had a clearance sale. And then I found like an extra Facebook discount.
Yeah.
So I bought some new Hokas that are just the exact same Hokas I have now, just a different color.
Right.
So I didn't really stray too far. So just a new pair of shoes that I can have to replace, you know, the current ones when they kind of wear out.
And you said you've used them already?
I used them once now.
You felt okay? Or?
Yeah. I mean, the one thing I'll say is, you know, we were actually talking about shoes last week, I think, and kind of like how you know when your shoes are wearing out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I always say like you can kind of feel it. As time goes on, and you can especially feel it when you buy new shoes and like run with your new shoes,
right?
And then
feel
run with your old shoes, and you might be like, oh, I can totally notice a big difference. And with my Hokas, I didn't notice a massive difference. The new ones just felt a little bit stiff,
mm-hmm.
Which I think might have something to do with the amount of cushioning that's in them. It's just a lot of cushion there under your feet, so I think it's a little bit stiffer to start. But I didn't really notice like, oh, my old Hokas are time to replace them or anything like that. So,
yeah,
and then Hokas should last hopefully a little bit longer.
I was gonna say, maybe lend yourself to the fact that. They should last longer.
Yeah. The last thing I was going to mention from my week, kind of a little bit of a pet peeve.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've ever seen this, was, you know, you do enough races, you end up on tons of race email lists and maybe follow races on Facebook. Am I the only one that gets super annoyed when you get an email that says, from a race that says, like, save $10 or $10 off today or save $10 today off the blah, blah, blah half marathon?
Uh-huh.
And you're like, oh, cool. Maybe I should do this race because
right.
it's going to be 10 bucks cheaper.
Off.
And then when you go to the website, you realize they're saying it's 10 bucks cheaper because tomorrow the price goes up 10 bucks.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Have you had that?
Mm-hmm. I've had that. And I've actually had that quite a bit, I'd say, like this year.
Mm-hmm.
Or I've actually gotten one. I don't remember what it was for, but it says save up to $20, right? And then you look and it's like they actually have a $10 discount code, which
uh-huh.
you can use. But they're like, and save an additional 10 by using that tonight before the price increases. It's like, what? That's just $10 off. That's not, you know, 20.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So to me, that's kind of
right.
annoying.
You're not saving it. It's just, you're, yeah.
Like in a way you are, but it's
a little bit
of false advertising.
Right.
Because there are races that I might get the email for and I know the race is. Let's say $50 and, you know, you get the email that says save $10 and I'm like, okay, cool. I can do this for 40.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go and look and it's, you're still going to pay 50.
Yeah.
So I like it when they just put the email that says, you know, prices going up tomorrow, you know, register today because, you know, increase tomorrow type of thing. Or,
right.
You know, or if they would just put it all in the headline of the email or on the Facebook post or something
right.
like that. So just throwing it out there as my pet peeve of the day, I guess.
Okay.
All right. I think I just rambled a lot about my week.
That's all right.
That's okay.
I wanted to throw one more thing in there that I forgot to mention just before we move on. As part of being involved with Ragnar Trail,
mm-hmm.
I almost made that one word. I am going to be out at CJ and Run store this Saturday, if you guys listen to this ahead of time, if anybody's going to be there. So that's February 1st. They have like their morning run.
At which, there's more than one CJ and
right.
Run, right?
Yeah, it's going to be at the Oakland store,
okay.
Oakland location. So myself and another individual are going to be out there. Joining in on the group run, which I think is about 3 miles, and then just doing like a quick info session on Ragnar Trail. So if anybody is in that area and wants to join in,
yeah.
I will be there.
For our local listeners, I guess.
Right. Well, yeah, I don't expect anybody to fly.
You don't expect people to fly in from the East Coast?
I don't expect people to fly in from anywhere or drive very far.
Might not be able to. I know East Coast weather is still a
disaster. Yeah, no kidding.
So hopefully everybody's doing good.
Right. I kind of tried to like not mention that in my... Yeah.
We're feeling guilty.
Right. Very guilty.
Because, yeah, actually, I ran on one of my midweek runs. I was like hot and I was like in shirts and shorts and that was basically it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Although I was laughing at a lady because she was out just doing a walk and she had like a scarf and earmuffs and a big jacket. And I think I saw her after I did a loop and she had already like taken all that stuff off and was carrying it in her hand. And I'm like, yeah, it's not cold.
But, yeah. You're in Northern California.
All right. Let's move on.
All right.
Let's start with a little bit of old business. We should say we did that coaching certification a week ago. Mm-hmm. I talked about that I took the test and thankfully passed the test. Got around to actually taking your test and passed, of course.
And passed the test. Yay.
So no surprise. So we both got our confirmation emails that, you know, congratulations, you're both certified running coaches.
Mm-hmm.
So just wanted to let everybody know that you took the test. Did you find it hard? I mean, I kind of said that
it was
harder,
difficult. Yeah.
Harder than expected.
Agreed. Yeah. And especially the last, I would say, I don't know, like 10 or 15 questions. Mm-hmm. I was like, whoa, okay. Yeah.
And
like,
that took me a longer long time. Than you expected, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yay, passed.
And then we didn't mention, we actually received a book to read in the class other than the actual course book. So the book we received was The Daniels Running Formula by Jack Daniels, PhD, not Jack Daniels, the liquor
bottle. Right.
So it's not about how to drink and run at the same time. But we did get that book. So I'll, at some point in time, I'm going to start reading it because I've never read it before. So I think it's the third edition of the book, been around a while. I'll give it a read and I guess when I'm done, I'll come back and let everybody know what I read.
Yeah.
And what I thought of the book at some
there
point.
You go.
But I'm a pretty slow reader when it comes to an old-fashioned book. If it's an Audible book, I go through them a lot quicker. Or if it's, you know, on my iPad, I'll get through it a little bit quicker, but that'll be kind of slow. But we'll see. Okay, that's it. Old business. This weekend, race is going on. Dubai Marathon. Celebration Marathon in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Hot Chocolate in Atlanta. We know all about the chocolate. And the White Continent Marathon in Antarctica.
Kind of an interesting compilation of races.
Yeah, a bunch of races that I'm not really that familiar with.
Well, you know about the chocolate, which is not Atlanta.
Yeah, and we'll actually mention Dubai. Jump?
Yeah, we can just go straight to
Dubai Marathon.
We can go straight to Dubai.
A very, very cool young man had his marathon debut in Dubai. How old was he? 18?
Mm-hmm.
And 18. I think he threw down a 204.
Yep.
Something.
204.32.
Yeah, which is absolutely crazy. I mean, this kid just, I mean, I'm calling him a kid. He's 18. I guess that makes
him
an adult. But to us, he's a kid. To most of us, he's a kid. But to have a marathon debut at age 18 and throw a 204 is absolutely insane and crazy. So, and I think he was Ethiopian?
Yes.
Am I right on that?
Yeah, you're right.
Okay. So it'll be interesting kind of following along his career and see if, you know, see if this is going to be a one-off thing or if he can repeat it.
I don't think he actually mentioned that he actually won the race.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
I guess when I said 204, I guess we should
have
just assumed.
Well, it could have been 204.30 and somebody else won the race. So
that would have been a crazy fast race.
He won it, yeah.
So congrats to him at a very young age. So it'll be interesting kind of seeing his career nurture along and see how he does in the future. Although I actually didn't even say his name because I don't have it in front of me.
I have it in front of me and I don't know how to say his name. So I'm going to try it, okay? Sagaye Mekonnen.
Okay.
Okay. There's a T at the beginning of his name. I am just assuming it is silent.
See, and that's why I didn't have his name in front of me, because I don't want to have to to say his name.
You probably
name.
Did have it in front of you. You just said you didn't have it in front of you.
Other news, what's going on? A competitor group, the people behind R&R, Rock and Roll Races, they kind of announced their new elite program. So I think we had mentioned, how long has it been? 6 months ago? I don't even know how long it's been. That competitor was kind of ending its elite program, which basically means like paying for appearance fees and travel fees and kind of all the stuff to kind of get some top names at some of their races. And they announced this past week that they're kind of starting with a new elite program, which I didn't really read through all the details to go into how exactly it's hugely different from what they did before.
Yeah, I didn't either. I read the article in terms of what it includes, but I don't know in comparison how it really differs.
Right. So I guess the takeaway from the story is just they're at least putting some money back in kind of having some elite racing going on at their races. So that's kind of cool. Other big elite, speaking of elites, there you go. I'll do a bad transition there. Galen Rupp, one of my favorite American runners, I guess, has now broken two American indoor records in just about more than a week.
Crazy.
He regained ownership of the U.S. indoor 2 mile by running 8:07:41 at Boston University's Terrier Classic on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
So that lowered the record of 809, which was actually set by Bernard Lagat in 2013, which had actually beaten Rupp's 809. I didn't give the details, but 809.72. So, yeah, so Galen Rupp kind of making a name for himself. The world record, I think, is actually 804.35. So he had got a couple seconds to take off there. I think from my understanding of the race, he was actually on pace for the world record early, but I think kind of faded, maybe laps 5 and 6 for what it sounded like from the story. So, yeah.
807.41. That's a great mile time.
Yeah, I'd be thrilled. I'd be thrilled with that for a mile, you know, most of the time. That'd be pretty sweet.
Yeah.
All right, let's jump around back to R&R races. They had a big post this past week about their heavy medals.
Mm-hmm.
So their heavy medals are the medals that they give for doing multiple R&R races in the same year. So they give medals if you do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 races in the same year.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7, and then 10.
Okay, so...
I don't know why they skip 8 and 9 specifically, if they do 1 through 7.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's like you might as well just keep going, right?
Yeah.
So they just kind of, you know, did a big post about kind of, I guess, reminding everybody about the medals. And I know, I think the, is it the Grand Slam, which is 4, got updated, so it has a new look.
Yeah.
So if you've done R&R and you did the heavy metal thing maybe a couple years ago, might be worth checking out to see if you were to do it again, if you'd have some different medals.
Yeah, because I think the Grand Slam's different. The Rockstar, which is 5, is different too. And I think the Rock Idol 10 might be slightly different, just like in coloring, I think.
Yeah, not a huge difference. And then they just made special note. We talked about the Cali combo before,
right,
which is the do 3 races in California.
Yeah.
And I think they even had a different medal that said, like, coming soon.
Yeah,
so
it's
I don't know
a
what
new medal combo coming soon.
I know so some people like R&R. I know some people hate R&R races, but at least you should be aware that there's some extra bling available if you're going to
do
multiple races.
Yeah.
And I think I always say, at least, like, California is one of the states that... You know, we have kind of have a bunch that you can drive to, so it's pretty easy to do. Mm-hmm. Not only just in California, but even the West Coast. You can go out to Arizona or even go up north a little bit and get some races done. So pretty easy for us West Coast people. What else? Speaking of people making announcements on their pages, Ragnar Relay, which you actually mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
They unveiled their 2014 swag. So new shirts for 2014 and new metal.
Right.
Which was pretty cool looking.
The shirts, I mean, they change it every year.
Yeah.
But
yeah. So the way Ragnar Relays do it, they have, obviously have races all across the country, and it's usually the same shirt, the same medal for the entire year. Obviously, it'll be city specific.
Right.
So Napa will say Napa, and
yeah.
Florida Keys will say Florida Keys and all that stuff. But it's kind of cool in some ways that it's the same for the entire year. And then
same
new
design,
year.
Same colors, everything.
Yeah. So Florida Keys, I think it's always the first one of the year.
Yeah, it's soon.
Is kind of when we transition over and get the new look. So actually, a little bit lighter blue. The medal looks pretty sweet.
Mm-hmm.
A lot more orange popping in there.
Yeah.
And they've kept to tradition, and their medal is still a bottle opener.
Right.
So some people thought we're freaking out at first because one of the pictures they posted, you couldn't see it, but it's actually part of the loop that holds the ribbon.
Yes, it's kind of hidden.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but it's very cool that they've stuck to tradition and
with the bottle opener.
Yeah. And still have that in there. So
I like the more orange on the medal.
Yeah. It pops. Yeah. It, typically their medals have been very silver.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to say
and
it.
And this still has silver, but just way more orange than it has in the past.
Yeah. We should mention, for full disclosure purposes, we have actually signed back on with Ragnar Napa to be ambassadors for them once again this year.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you're working with Ragnar on their trails. And,
right.
And we'll both be kind of helping them out with kind of promoting Napa Valley. So if you have any questions about Ragnar Napa Valley, that's part of our job.
Right.
We'll help you out and kind of guide you away. We've had actually several people asking us questions, I think, over the last couple weeks.
Right.
So we had questions about where to get van rentals. Somebody was asking me about how much gas you spend. I think they wanted to know, they were having a team meeting coming up, and they wanted to know how much to expect to spend on gas.
Mm-hmm.
So we were talking about that. I was talking to somebody about how to collect money if you're the captain of the team.
Right.
And you might want to collect the money in advance, because the captain actually has to physically put their credit card down and pay the fee all up front.
Yeah, it's not like an individual person does it. Yeah.
What else do we answer about that?
They were asking about having a separate driver.
Oh, that's right.
Be the driver of the van versus having runners trade off that responsibility.
And what I said was, if you can sucker somebody into doing it, then it's a fantastic idea.
Right.
But usually it's kind of hard.
Chances are.
Yeah, it's kind of hard
to get
somebody.
You're going to be rotating that seat.
And they don't get any official race swag. They're not going to get a medal for being a driver, and they're not going to get an official race shirt. So.
Right.
I guess be nice to them, buy them lunch, maybe take them out to
at
dinner.
At the very least.
Yeah, get them a team shirt. If you
right, there you
personalized
go.
Personalized shirts.
Yeah, make them a separate medal. There you go.
All right, what's next? I'm going to jump into my PSA portion of the show and say, don't be a bandit at races, please. So for anybody that doesn't know, what's a bandit? It's someone who runs a race without paying or registering for the race. So no official bib. You didn't pay the money. You just
showed
usually up and hop in there in the start corral and run the race and take food and aid at the stations and cross the finish line and try to get a medal and hit up the post-race
food
stuff.
And
this just kind of caught our attention lately because, you know, we talk a lot about brazen racing that we do a lot of the races here. And I think for the first time in December, we got like a pre-race email. And for the first time that I had ever noticed, it actually mentioned something about basically don't be a bandit.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's kind of interesting. At the time, I was like, oh, that's kind of interesting. Like, I wonder
but that
if that
would be there.
Because
we
no
always
problem.
Get pre-race emails for them, but that hadn't been concluded before.
So I guess we kind of paid attention to a little bit on social media this past week. And I guess it has been a problem for them lately. A lot of people were talking about the race that they just had this past weekend.
Right.
That there were definitely some people they caught out there being a bandit. And supposedly the winners of the 5K, the first two people across the line of the 5K were bandits.
So they got called out by the race director on the PA system. Like they deserve to be.
Right.
Yeah.
So don't be a bandit. There's, you know, there's no reason to do it. You know, like Brazen Racing specifically, they do it at regional parks and trails that are, they're not closed. Anybody from the public can technically be using the trails at the exact same time. So people would, I guess, you have the right to go run the trails at the same time as everybody else, but you don't have the right to aid stations.
Right.
You don't have a right to cross the finish line. You don't have a right to the medal or the post-race food. So, yeah, overall, it's just a really bad thing. Don't do it. I think Brazen actually made the point of, or I think somebody had said, you know, it was a financial issue why they had done the bandit thing. But Brazen was good about pointing out the fact that you can actually volunteer at races and get race credit.
Right.
So you could volunteer this week and come get a free entry into
to the next
race. And they actually did mention a couple bandits from the past have actually come back to be volunteers.
Yeah, once they told them, hey, you know, if it's a, you know, this is something you can do, and they've actually done that. So
and that might be an uncommon thing. And I certainly understand that races are expensive, especially if you want to do a lot of them. But there are, you know, check local races in your area. There might be ways to get race credit and kind of offset some of that cost. But even if finance is an issue, it doesn't give you the right to just go run the race and take
the resources.
Yeah.
Because
you're basically stealing.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. What else?
I think the other thing we want to talk about was Disneyland Half Marathon Weekend.
Oh, that's right.
Registration opened up today.
Yeah. So as of this evening, basically it sold out. I think the Dumbo Double Dare sold out.
In less than an
10K.
Hour.
Did it? I paid no attention to how quickly
I don't remember the exact time frame, but I know the Dumbo Double Dare and the 10K both sold out in less than an hour. I think the half right now, last time I looked, was like at 99%, which to me,
I don't know what 99% means. Isn't it basically sold out? You're waiting
for like that last person to just hit, like, you know, confirm. So 99%. I didn't really pay attention to what the 5K was or the kids run, but yeah, it's, I mean,
basically,
it's going to be.
Basically, by the time you listen to this,
it's probably sold out. So hopefully you got into whatever you wanted to if you wanted to.
Right. Might be some people trying to do coast to coast.
Right.
Just coming off the big marathon weekend in Florida. So, kind of like we always like to point out, it's the lesson of these popular races. If you want to do them, you got to jump in right away and just register and don't miss out.
Right.
All right. So before we kind of get onto a little bit of a topic, do want to thank our sponsor, My Race Time Tracker. We've been talking about them for several weeks. It's a pretty cool app on iOS that you can kind of, you just pop in your name, pop in the race that you're doing, choose your distance, 5K, 10K, half, marathon, and it's going to automatically share, if you activate it, to your Facebook. And your Twitter also has the option to add text messaging so that you can kind of share with friends and family that may be either at the race waiting for you or cheering you along the course, or your friends at home that were too lazy to get out of bed.
Right.
Let them know what you're up to and kind of, I say, be proud of your run.
Yeah.
Kind of share it with people. Mm-hmm. Let them know. So I'll be using it. My next race is in 3 weeks, which will be a half marathon, but I'll be using it to share my race to my Twitter account.
Right.
Mark's running over on Twitter. Just throw that in there for the heck of it. But it's a pretty cool app. It's developed by a runner, for runners, and as I've said in the past, by a listener, which is pretty cool. So we definitely wish him luck with the app. So check it out in the App Store. Hopefully soon it'll be available for all you Android folks.
Right. Coming soon.
Yeah. So to learn more, visit MyRaceTimeTracker.com or go directly to the iTunes Store and search for My Race Time Tracker. And we thank them for their support.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to talk a little bit about kind of some pre-race food nutrition.
Yeah.
This kind of started with an email that we got from a listener who's kind of asking us the question about what to eat, how to eat leading into a race, maybe a day before a race.
Yeah, and kind of how to balance carb loading and hydrating without like doing too much or still trying to avoid mid-race bathroom breaks.
Yeah.
Which, you know, that's always a concern.
Yeah, if we talk long enough about running, we'll always get to a porta potty discussion at some point.
Yeah.
Right?
You won't have to talk too long with me. Yeah, some discussions longer than others for people. So anyways. But yeah, no, it's a good topic. And I think it's always, you know, on people's minds in terms of, you know, carb loading. That's, you know, the famous term for that, you know, especially leading up to longer races like half marathon, marathon and beyond. So just before we talk about what we do, because that was a specific question, you know, what do we do leading up to a half marathon or full marathon in terms of hydrating and carb loading the week before? I just kind of wanted to give a quick overview, you know, on carb loading. Won't be very long. So in terms of, you know, why do we want to carb load if we do? And I know there's a lot of people that don't necessarily agree with this anymore. You know, there's lots of different views on how to prepare nutrition-wise, either during training or race day. But I'm just going with the assumption of that if you are going to carb load, or carb-load, like this is why you do
it. We're kind of coming at this from the traditional view of it.
Right, but I understand that not everybody follows that. So as far as why do you want to carb-load? Basically because most of the carbs stored in your body are glycogen in your muscles and liver, and it's the body's most easily accessible form of energy. And so when you don't want to run out of glycogen during a race, like half marathon, marathon, that's essentially what is referred to as hitting the wall. You know, so you want to have your glycogen stores, you know, like full or as close to full as possible.
We always talk about topping them off.
There you go. Yeah, you got to top off your glycogen stores. So, and you can't really do this like in one meal. So don't try to, you know, top off your glycogen stores like the last meal before the race.
Just like you can't make up for not training. You can't make up for not eating like the dinner before your marathon. Yeah.
Good point. So in terms of when you should start carb-loading, the thought is, you know, 3, 4, 5, right around there, days before the race. Mm-hmm. And then I've actually seen this in a couple of different places that at that point, 85% to 95% of your calories should come from carbohydrates.
Which is crazy.
That is crazy.
That's a lot.
I think I can honestly say I've never done that before a race.
Yeah. That might be taking it a little bit to an extreme.
Yeah. So, I mean, again, you know, you have to see what works for you and all of that, but this is just kind of the generalizations. And then as far as, like, you know, you're tapering around this time too, and not only just to kind of rest your legs and all of that, but you actually want to cut back your running anyways to allow the glycogen to accumulate. You don't want to be using up all the carbs that you're eating.
Right.
So, I mean, that makes sense in terms of that. So, anything you want to add before we talk about what we do or anything?
No.
Okay. Oh, and then one thing that they mentioned too is because you're running less and eating more carbs, be prepared to see a number on the scale that's higher than normal.
And that's okay.
Right. And I mean, not, we're talking about like 15 pounds, but you know,
that would mean something is totally wrong.
Right. So, and then in terms of like actual amount, you know, because I did mention the 85-95%. So just as an example, it's 4 grams of carbs for every pound of body weight. So for a 150-pound runner, it's 600 grams or 2,400 calories of carbs per day. That's a lot of calories.
That's
for a 150-pound runner.
Okay.
So again, like we mentioned before, that's kind of like, seems extreme to us.
I'm doing math in my head. That's a lot.
So, you know, take this as you will, you know, with everything that you normally do and works for you. But I just kind of wanted to give a quick overview on why people talk about
And we'll put links to 2 different articles in the notes if you want to kind of read through them and get a little bit more details.
Right. So I think one of the specific questions that we got was, what do we do?
Right.
So honestly, I am not that structured. Mm-hmm. I can't say like, this is what I have, you know, like if a race is on Sunday, this is what I do on Tuesdays, what I do on Wednesdays, what I do on Thursday. I'm really not that structured, even in terms of the specific amount that I eat. And I think, the email that we got too was asking about hydrating too. So in terms of hydrating, I usually just use water. I don't tend to use, you know, sports drink or electrolyte drink or anything before the race, whether it's the week before or a couple of days before or the day before. I just do water, and, you know, if I'm thirsty, I drink it, but I do try to make an effort to drink a little bit more than normal. And when we get into, like, you know, checking your hydration status, it's basically color of your urine, you know, is an easy way to do it. You don't want it to be dark, kind of want it pale yellow, and that's kind of what I aim for. But you also don't want it clear, you know, because then it's just whatever you're drinking is basically just going right through you. So, but as far as food, I do let myself eat more carbs I wouldn't say like 85 to 95% of my intake are carbs, but you know, I'll have that extra piece of toast in the morning, or I'll have that rice that comes with my meal that I normally don't eat, or maybe a little bit more pasta than normal. And I do try to do that maybe like 2 days before the race. I think for the first marathon, maybe half marathon, I don't even remember. I try to do it like the day before. I'm like, okay, let me have like this big carbo meal, right? Because I'm supposed to be like carbo loading right now. And then I ended up like overeating and my stomach didn't feel good and all of that. So it's not the best idea to do it as your last meal. Like, you want to be doing it ahead of time. So anything specific you want to add while I think of more?
I mean, I guess, you know, for me, the number one tips, that doesn't even make sense. I guess my tips
there
are,
you go.
Or what I do is, you know, the most important things for me is the day before a race or an important race or a good training run is for dinner, don't overeat.
Right.
That's kind of
Agreed.
My number one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Number two is don't eat too late. So.
Oh, yeah. That's my main thing, too.
I'm typically kind of an early dinner eater in general. But the day before a race, you know, it might be 5-6 o'clock is when I'm thinking about having dinner so that it's not too late.
Yeah.
Now, if you're doing a Disney race that starts at 5:30 in the morning and you're getting up at 2, you might even want to move that up a little bit.
Yeah.
Because theoretically, you're probably going to try to go to sleep a little bit earlier.
Mm-hmm.
At least you would hope to. So number one, don't overeat. Number two, don't eat late. And then I just try to eat safe things the night before. For me, a lot of the time, that's pasta. And that's not really because of a carbohydrate thing. I'm not necessarily trying to top off my glycogen stores or anything like that. I just really like pasta. But to me, pasta is like a really safe food. Like, it's hard to screw up pasta.
Well, I think it's hard to screw up the pasta itself. I don't think it's difficult to screw up like the sauces and everything that come with it, or the chicken or whatever protein that they're adding to it.
Yeah, I mean, I never really have problems with the sauces, or, you know, if I have a lasagna or some that has some meat in there, I never really have a problem. I do stay awake from chicken
because mm-hmm.
I'm always fearful of chicken the night before a race. I'm like, this will be the one time it's bad chicken, and
yeah,
you know, I'm gonna be sick tomorrow morning. But so pasta is kind of my go-to thing. And then for lunch that day before, I just kind of the same thing. Don't overeat. Try to go with something in my mind that's kind of safe. I have this weird thing that a food that's kind of worked really well for me, and you might not think it would, because it's like Mexican food. I usually get a burrito. Is that Chipotle?
Yeah.
So I don't know if there's a Chipotle in your area of the country.
Yeah.
Probably not if you're an international listener.
Although I don't think that's really like traditional Mexican food. So
that's true.
Yeah. So it's kind of different.
But I guess we don't think about have a burrito the day before a race is like a really safe way to eat. But
right.
That's kind of my go-to sometimes if I have the option, because it's just always fine with mm-hmm. my stomach. So I just try to really stick to things I know. And then usually the day before a race, I'll drink a Gatorade at some point in time, just because mm-hmm. I'm bad with hydration in general. So it's kind of a way for me to mentally get something extra in my system.
Yeah.
So if you're not good, then make an effort to grab a water bottle. I like a Gatorade because it's when I see Gatorade, I think about the running and I'm like, oh, I have a race or a run and I need to drink this. But regardless, whatever you're going to do, I think it's important just to practice it.
Yeah.
So if you're training for a marathon, you're going to have weeks where you're probably going to do an 18 and a 20 miler. Treat those days before just like you would like it's a race weekend,
right? Like, wear the shoes you're planning to wear, you know, the shirt or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, don't like, just like you're not going to wear something new on race day, you know, try not to do anything new with nutrition, not only on race day but the day before, 2 days before leading up to it.
Yeah. I mean, I mentioned the Chipotle thing, you know, it's kind of like basically fast, semi-fast food, because if you're going to be traveling to races, you know, you're not going to be able to have your home-cooked meal, whatever that is. So it's, to me, I think it's a good idea to have, maybe, you know, not everywhere has a Chipotle, so I'm going to go to some races and I'm not going to be able to do it, but maybe have a couple things in your repertoire that are kind of go-tos that you're safe with, that might be like even fast food or chain restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're traveling all over the country to do a race, you're not going to have your home-cooked meal if you're staying
right.
in a hotel. So at least you know, like, hey, if I go eat at, you know, XYZ restaurant
and order this, I'm
yeah,
okay.
I'm going to get that and I'm going to be okay with that. It's
right.
not going to screw me up and I'm not going to have
yeah.
any problems and no surprises or anything in there. So, I mean, that's my one tip if you're going to be traveling to some races.
Yeah. So I thought of a couple.
Okay. That's pretty much what I
Okay.
Yeah.
Beyond that,
2 days before, I don't really give it any
thought.
I'm not paying a lot of attention to my diet other mm-hmm. than like, ooh, I'm not going to have that. And, you know, I'm going to stay away from you know, I'm kind of staying away from the sweets. I don't know why. Like, I don't want to put on an extra pound of sweets the day, you know, 2 days before a race. But other than that, it's, you know, I don't put a whole huge effort into what I eat 3 days before or 4 days before. Mm-hmm. I think it's really, for me, it's just stick to what I know and I know I'm good with. So,
yeah.
So you had more?
Yeah, I had more. In terms of fluids and hydrating ahead of time, don't drink like a ton before you know, like late in the day before, because then you're going to be getting up to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night and you're not going to get a restful night.
Yeah, don't so right, be mindful right before of that. Dinner, don't go drink a gallon of water.
Right. Yeah, so be mindful of that. And then the other thing, yeah, you know, practice, like you said, practice nutrition-wise, like before a long run. So you know what works for you or what doesn't. Maybe something you thought was completely safe just really, you know, messed you up, you know, the day of. So then, you know, to avoid that on race day. And then avoiding things once you figure that out. So for me, okay, not overeating. That's a big one for me. And then avoiding lactose, you know, or being real minimal with that the couple of days beforehand. And then not eating a lot of fiber too, for the same reason. You kind of don't want things moving real quickly, you know, on race day. So just being careful with that. So sometimes I'll modify what I'm eating, especially the day before, maybe even 2 days before, and just have less fiber than I normally do because of that. So
yeah, the fiber is a pretty good point to mention.
Yeah. I mean, people are sensitive to different things, so you just kind of have to find what works for you or find what doesn't work for you and avoid that.
And you're also going to have to work on whatever's going to be your morning of the race routine.
Right.
So whether you're eating something in the morning when you first wake up, whether you're going to have breakfast, a lot of people, it seems, you know, the banana is the go-to thing in the morning.
Bagel or toast or whatever it may be.
And all that stuff, it's the same thing. Got to practice it.
Right.
So do
that, you know, like the morning of your 16 miler and see how it works. You know, did the banana work out okay? Did it not? Did you need, you know, a banana plus toast or whatever it may be? You know, and practice that. So
And practice the timing too.
Yeah.
Because if you're doing a local race that's 10 minutes from your house, you might be waking up an hour and a half before the race. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But if you're, you know, like if you're traveling to San Francisco to go to a race, or if we're out of town, or, you know, you're going to have to drive and you're waking up 4 hours before the race, that might be a little bit different, because that's a long time to go with not a lot in the morning. If you're not used to it. So that's the kind of thing you kind of have to be aware of. I don't typically eat much of anything before a race, which, I mean, you could say that I need to eat more. I need a little bit more in me, but I'd rather just play it safe and not have too much. So
right. And I usually go with a piece of wheat toast with some peanut butter.
Yeah, that's your go-to.
That's kind of my go-to. And then if I have a long time before the race, then I might have like half a banana or a whole banana. So, and I think you mentioned too the sweets, right? So avoiding sweets.
Yeah.
Yeah, I learned my lesson in Las Vegas, at Rock and Roll Las Vegas, when I got really excited at the buffet and had a bunch of sweets.
We talked about Vegas. Vegas was a weird one.
My stomach did not like it. Well, which I probably wasn't just the sweets. I know it was the timing of the day and everything but I did have a lot of sweets and I definitely overate. So those are two big problems. Yeah, I paid for it.
I overate for 2 days. Basically leading into that Vegas race.
Yeah.
You know, it was kind of just too much good food. It wasn't even like, oh, we had tons of buffets.
We didn't even like carbo load. We like carbo overloaded. We just food overloaded.
But it was good.
Yeah. So hopefully that helps with the question that was sent in.
Yeah. I don't think we can tell you exactly, you know, obviously what's going to work for each individual person. It's going to be a lot of trial and error and you're going to have to figure it out on your own. But like I said.
That's kind of what we do.
Yeah.
But
take it all in moderation, I think, and then just give it a try and see what happens. And, you know, if some specific food isn't going to work for you, you're going to know it.
Yeah. Yep.
So.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else on the nutrition tip there?
That's it that I can think of right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Should we get to some feedback?
Yeah.
Message received.
All right. Who do we hear from? What did I mention? We heard from Alan. We were talking about the when to get rid of your shoes.
Mm-hmm.
So he actually mentioned... runs in some... Oh, he recommended checking the tread on your shoe, which is a good idea. Just look at the bottom. You'll kind of get an idea of maybe how beat up they are or how much of that is gone. I think if you're a pretty heavy heel striker, you're going to see that tread go a little bit faster.
And then there's some individuals, too, who tend to shuffle their feet, and so they're wearing down.
So you're going to wear the tread out maybe faster than you would say the equivalent of the cushioning would get worn out.
Right.
So you kind of have to take your own little style into that. But
and he retires his at 300 miles. So because I know we had talked about the ranges before for us.
Which is probably, I think, pretty quick for a lot of people, I would think.
I don't know. Yeah. I just know what I do.
And we should say, you know, if you're running in a minimalist type shoe, probably not going to last
right
as long.
Yeah.
So That was a good point. Heard from Beth, who actually at least used to use a running shoe diary app on Android, mm-hmm. and I've seen similar on iPhone. So if you really want to keep track of the miles and you don't have another way to do it, you could download a specific app just to do that.
Right.
I know a lot of running apps that kind of keep track of your training, whether that's Run Meter, Run Keeper, they might have an option for you to track your shoes.
Mm-hmm.
I know I use Run Meter a lot. Has an option to track shoes. I don't like it. It's kind of clunky on how you kind of have to enter your shoes.
Uh-huh.
So I've never done it that way. I just do it on my running log at home.
Right, that's what I do too.
And it's, I don't know why, I kind of have an easy time remembering for like a week or two what shoes I ran in. Although, I guess if you just pretty much always use the same shoes, then it's super easy.
Right, it's just one or the other.
Yeah, if you're not rotating shoes at all, then it's pretty easy to keep
track.
Right. You can almost write down the date and then just figure it out pretty quick. So.
Yeah. And then for Beth, she said once a pair hits 300 miles, then she starts kind of monitoring the sole. So kind of similar to what Alan said.
Yeah, so a lot of attention paid to the sole.
Yeah.
And then we also heard from Mike, who's actually where I got the idea about the minimalist shoes mm-hmm. not lasting very long, and says it's lucky to get 300 miles
right.
in his minimalist shoes.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping my Hokas last way more than 300. But
yeah,
we'll
it'll be interesting. Do you know how many miles you have on them now?
I don't.
Okay.
I want to say 200 something, but I could be off. More than 100, less than 600.
I don't know. It'll be interesting to see once you get like to 300 or even 500, like how they're feeling, if they're still going strong.
Yeah. Thanks for Chris for his email. Actually inspired a lot of what we talked about today.
Right.
Heard from Erin, who is actually a little bit jealous of our California weather. Sent us a screenshot of her -8 degree weather.
Right.
Which is really cold compared to us. And I'm sure we have some listeners who would say, oh, that's nothing. You know, it was -30 here today. Right. So, yeah.
I don't really know what to say to that.
And thanks to Rob, who actually forwarded us a discount for the Windsor Green Half Marathon.
Mm-hmm.
So if anybody needs a
which
discount,
is here in Northern California.
That. Yeah, I had to look it up. I didn't know where Windsor was. And then when I saw it, I realized, oh, it's not that far from us.
Yeah.
So going to have to take a look and see if that's
right.
a race that
so
interests
that.
Us. We've actually done a pretty good job of not signing up for a lot of races right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think we had two that we were banging our heads against the wall the past week and a half, trying to figure out whether to do them or not, or one of them or not. And as of now, we're going to pass on both of them.
Shocking, I know.
I know, it's
but
crazy.
But we actually both decided to pass on both of them.
It was really a hard
decision
to come to.
And it's not one that we come to often.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We did want to wish good luck to Beth in Florida, who's running the Best Damn Race.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually the name of the race. It's
the Best
Damn Race 10K.
Right. Yeah.
Which I will say is an awesome name
right.
for a race.
Like,
hey, what'd you do? I did the Best Damn Race there is.
You're like, no, which
that
one?
Was it
yeah.
right there. So, and good luck to Sam, who's going to be out at the... I believe Miami Marathon, mm-hmm. and I believe first marathon.
Yeah.
So congrats. Let us know how it goes.
Right. Let us know how your carbo loading worked for you.
Yeah. Hopefully. I have no idea what the weather in Florida is.
I have no idea.
Right now, so,
yeah.
I don't know. Hopefully it's nice.
Right.
No idea.
Yeah.
All right. That's going to kind of end the show. Like we said, we're still going to talk about our survey for a little bit, kind of run through some of the questions. But if you don't care, then you can just kind of hit stop
and
bounce
out.
It's time
to check out.
Might be a good time to go get in a run. If you're
there you
not
go.
Already running,
mm-hmm.
if you are running right now,
just keep listening.
I think you should keep listening.
I think so. I mean, you might as well.
It'll at least give you some time on your feet.
Right.
A little bit extra.
Yeah, we'll distract you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's jump into a little bit on the survey. So we ran the survey for a month. Again, thanks everybody who participated.
Yeah, very much appreciated.
It was kind of a good experience for us to kind of get some feedback and kind of a chance to learn more about you, the listeners,
mm-hmm.
And kind of what your running habits are like. Kind of halfway through, I kind of realized, oh, there were some other questions that I wish I had asked.
Yeah.
Just
so
kind of learn.
Next
you know,
time.
Next time. So I don't know if we're going to do this maybe once a year, every December or January or something, or maybe once every other year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what would be too much. I think it only takes a couple minutes, but.
You should put that question on the survey.
That would have been a good one. Yeah. You know,
how often should we do the survey? Every day.
Are you sick of surveys yet?
Exactly.
So we're going to run through some of this stuff real quick just to share it with you. Like I said, I think it's nice to kind of get a little feedback if I. Did the survey, and if you didn't do the survey, that's fine.
You still might find it interesting anyways
and we'll hunt you down
said.
Next year
right,
to do
exactly.
it. So first question was an easy question. We asked, are you male or female? Hopefully nobody struggled with the question. Actually came back as 60% male, 40% female,
mm-hmm.
which was kind of a surprise to us.
Yeah.
I don't know why we just assumed. I guess in my head I thought it'd be 50-50.
Me too. But I mean, why? I don't know.
Maybe because we're 50-50 here?
I guess so.
And I guess in getting emails from people and messages from people always seemed like kind of evenly split.
Yeah, that's true.
Male and female.
Yeah.
So I don't know if maybe men are more likely to take a survey.
Who knows?
Women are more likely to send an email. I have no idea. Next question, we just kind of get a general idea of age groups of people. 42% of the people that responded were in the age group of 35 to 44s. And then about 25% were 25 to 34 and 25% 45 to 54.
Yeah, so pretty evenly split between those two.
Yeah, so not really a surprise there. That's kind of almost goes along with what you see in age groups at races.
Yeah.
And we had, nobody responded under the age of 18. So either if we have any listeners under the age of 18.
Actually, we had nobody respond under the age of 20.
Yeah, so where's all the young people at? Probably not running.
Not.
And certainly they are having way too much fun doing
whatever. They do not have time to listen to a podcast.
We asked people where they were from. I'm not going to read off states because there's like 50 of them and that would take a long time. But I will mention internationally, we heard from Australia, UK, Germany, Canada, Finland, Israel. Did I miss any countries?
Nope, you got them.
Okay, cool. And then, of course, lots of states from California to Florida, everything in between. So that was kind of pretty cool. We asked everybody, what is the longest run you have ever run?
Longest race.
Longest race you have ever run. Kind of the biggest thing was, the biggest category was half marathon. So 37% of respondents, the longest distance they've run was a half marathon. 33% was the marathon. And we did have 4% of people never ran a race.
Yeah.
And 11% were 5K. And 10% actually did an ultra. So we have quite a big range of people that listen to the show.
Although the majority over a half marathon, which didn't surprise me.
No.
Just the way... The popularity that we talk about, like half marathons growing and marathons too, those are kind of the two distances that seem to be growing quite a bit.
Yeah, half marathon, definitely the most popular distance.
Yeah.
I think it's, you know, a distance to kind of get new people into the sport. And, you know, if you've run marathons and ultras, you probably have, there's probably a lot of halves that you enjoy doing.
True. And, or at least have done.
We asked, how many races did you do in 2013? And people responded, and we realized that we are very much oddballs.
Right.
So... We both did.
Which I suspected, but it was confirmed.
Confirmed. Yeah. So we actually ran over 20 races, each of us, last year, right?
Yeah.
So in the category of, did you run 15 or more? Only 7% of people did 15 or more races. So we're definitely
in the minority.
The minority.
Yeah. But that's okay.
Yeah. The biggest response was 1 to 5 races. It's actually 37% of people. Followed closely by 6 to 10 races, which was 27%. And then 18% did 11 to 15 races. So, and then actually 11% said none. No races in 2013. Yeah. And we actually heard from several people through the year that basically were running a lot, but just
didn't do races. Yeah.
Just kind of focused on running, which I admire that actually. We asked, where do you primarily listen to the podcast? Kind of no surprise. 38% of people said while running, 20% in the car, 18% at work, 18% at home, and 8% put other. I don't have the list of what the others were.
Yeah.
And I don't remember.
I think one of them was like walking their dogs.
Or walking, I guess. We didn't put that on there.
Yeah, we didn't put that in there.
So wasn't surprised by that. A lot of people let us know that they do listen while out for the runs. A lot of people say we keep them company on their long runs. So that's pretty cool. It was actually really weird because if you were the first group of people that responded very quickly, I think you all listened in the car. So as we saw responses come in, we're like, this is weird. I thought more people listened while running. And then I guess as time went on, kind of averages came through. and that's what it became. We asked, what is your preferred length for each podcast episode? By far, the biggest choice was 1 hour. 40% of people said 1 hour. 20% of people selected 45 minutes. 13% of people said 1 hour, 15 minutes. 27% of people said, keep talking until you lose your voices, which I'm not sure if you just wanted a longer episode or you just want us to lose our voices and stop talking.
Right. So it could go either way.
And then we put 30 minutes in there also, which literally not a single person wanted 30 minutes. So,
which is pretty consistent with kind of the time that we try to keep the episodes at.
Yeah, I think we've always shot for, I think we always say 40 to 60 minutes. Is kind of what we're shooting for, although we tend to go long a lot. And once in a while, I think when we talk about a Chicago marathon or California, I'm actually losing my voice right now.
I know, see? Oh my gosh, it worked!
Which we're about the 1 hour mark right now. But,
it's a conspiracy.
Yeah, I mean, when we have longer races to talk about Chicago where we travel to or California International,
it's a longer.
It's going to be a longer one. Right. I think one of those went an hour and a half. And I'm not a big fan of doing like splitting episodes into parts.
Right.
Because I think
so you can just pause it.
Yeah. For most people, you're listening on a podcatcher on some type of mobile device and you can just hit pause and pick it up the next day. So I don't really like doing parts. So once in a while, if there's, you know, a big race, when we talk about Big Sur, that might be an hour, 20 minutes. But I think most of the time we're going to stick with what most of you asked for, which was 1 hour.
Yeah.
So we asked, what is your ideal Embrace Running podcast release schedule? So how often would you like us to do an episode? Overwhelmingly, everybody chose weekly.
Mm-hmm.
So 83% chose weekly. 16% wanted twice a week.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to stick to once a week.
Yeah.
And that's one thing actually we've always heard from the beginning is like people like the fact that we release an episode every week. I think we rarely ever miss a week.
Yeah, there's been hardly any.
We rarely ever do like a pre-recorded episode or anything like that. I think we did it once and that was just like a couple days early because we were hitting out of town for something.
Yeah, exactly.
So we're going to stick to that. For those of you that like twice a week, I don't know what we would talk about twice a week.
I have no idea.
So, and then that's just be kind of time consuming. So I don't know if that's something we could ever do. So we're going to stick to the weekly schedule. But I'm glad kind of everybody's on board and kind of everybody agrees with that. So,
yeah.
We asked just out of curiosity, when a new episode comes out, how quickly do you listen? Kind of helps us know if we're talking about things that are coming up, whether we give you enough notice on stuff. And I know once in a while we kind of are a little bit late on dropping an episode. We always shoot for Mondays, but once in a while it ends up being a Tuesday or Wednesday drop just because of schedules. But we typically always release the podcast within 24 hours of when we actually record it.
Yes.
So just so you know. And most of the time it's actually up and available probably within 2 hours of
recording.
Of literally stopping the recording. So how quickly do people listen? 35% of you said within 24 hours. 32% said within 48 hours, 28% within a week, which I was amazed by those numbers. People listening very quickly.
Yeah.
Which is very cool. And then 5% said, whenever I get around to it.
Yep.
Which totally understand that.
Yeah.
We asked, how did you first hear about the podcast? I guess the number one way people find podcasts is still on iTunes.
Mm-hmm.
So 56% of people said iTunes. About 20% said via just a web search. We had 9% on Stitcher. 16% had other. I know one of the others was Reddit, which I've been on Reddit once in a while, but I've never actually thought to go there for a discussion on running.
Yeah, I haven't either.
After I saw that, I kind of looked and, there's actually some running discussions over there on Reddit. So
might have to spend more time there.
Yeah, I actually found that kind of interesting. Next, we kind of asked just people, kind of asked you what you thought of specific parts of the show.
Yeah.
And I won't go in detail because that would be a lot of numbers. What we basically figured out was everybody's favorite part of the show seemed like race reports.
Yeah.
So 60% of people actually gave race reports like a 10. We had like a 1 through 10 scale.
Mm-hmm.
So
10 is good.
So that was by far seemingly everybody's favorite. So I know at one point last year I was really thinking like, we're doing too many race reports.
Yeah.
You know, are people going to be sick of listening to our race reports? And obviously we're running a lot of races.
Right.
By that other question that we had. But it seems like
people
enjoy them.
The race reports.
So
we'll
keep... Thank you very much. I'll keep running races.
Just for that reason alone. No.
I might have to go back and register for those two races that we skipped on.
Just so you have more race reports.
Yeah. And then just for, I guess, least favorite part of the show, I think, was pretty much the feedback section, which I kind of understand because...
Yeah, I wasn't real surprised with that at all.
If you didn't send us an email, it might not be that interesting
to
you. We're obviously not going to say your name if you didn't reach out and contact us.
Exactly.
We don't have anything to say to you personally if you didn't say anything to us. And that's kind of why, you know, on a lot of podcasts and a lot of shows, that's kind of like at the end of the show.
Right.
So I guess
that way you can kind of check out
if you want to check out at the end or if you want to hit stop at that point, you can go ahead and do that. I think the only thing we thought about changing was I think once in a while after the feedback, we will kind of mention, you know, what we got coming up or we'll kind of say like what's coming up next week or what we're doing or mention something after the feedback. And I think if anything, maybe we'll try to do that before the feedback.
That way if people check out
you're
not missing it.
So
we'll try to do that.
I don't know if we're going to remember to do that or how that's going to go, but that'll kind
except
of be
for today, I'm going to mention something really important. No, I'm just kidding.
At the very end. Yeah. So that if you checked out before this section,
you missed it completely.
We're going to tell you the key to running a Boston qualifier.
Exactly.
At the end. But that might get cut off, so don't worry. Kind of an important question. We asked people, would you like us to add guest interviews to the podcast?
Mm-hmm.
So what were the numbers? 38% said yes. 45% said doesn't matter. And 17% said no. From day one, when we started the podcast, I think we always planned on adding interviews to the show. And we just kind of have never done it to date in over 100 episodes.
Yeah.
And kind of just a bunch of small reasons why we haven't done it. I mean, number one
logistics.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
And it's time consuming. I have to give credit to
people who
podcasts
do that
do it because you have to reach out to people. You have to contact them. You have to do scheduling. You know, it's a little bit more intensive. Might be some more post-production that you have to do sometimes.
Yeah.
I'm also concerned sometimes with audio quality.
Because you never know.
If you listen to podcasts, I remember a podcast I listened to a long time ago, and it wasn't running related at all. I was listening in the car, and when the normal host of the show talked, I'd have to lower the volume, and then when the guest talked, I'd have to like jack up the volume because I couldn't hear. So slightly concerned about how the audio quality is going to come out. And then, you know, interviews are interesting when they're interesting, and when they're not interesting, they're not interesting. I think with just us talking, you kind of know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
A little bit more consistency, but I think we'll kind of look to maybe at some point in the future adding some interviews. We did have a few people that suggested us to interview listeners on the show. So just you, regular listeners, people just like us.
Right.
Just normal runners.
Just normal runners. Not necessarily at the elite level or anything like that.
Yeah. So I thought that was a good suggestion by a couple people. I think at some point we'll maybe try to do that.
Yeah.
So if you're a listener, we might be reaching out to you at some point in time. And yeah, anything else on the interviews?
No, nothing else.
Okay. So yeah, I mean, we'll definitely, I mean, obviously there's some interest in there, so we'll try to work it in at some point, but no guarantees on when. And a lot of people said, yes, I'd like interviews, but maybe on topics that we don't cover in depth.
Right.
And a lot of people said, you know, yes, I'd like interviews, but don't change too much. Or like,
don't do it every single time. Yeah.
There's obviously tons of other podcasts that are running related that actually do very regular interviews or every week do interviews. So I almost think by not doing interviews, we're almost one of the outliers at this point.
Right.
So. What was next? We asked about whether you're interested in any Embrace Running branded gear. So the reason we asked that question was some people have actually over time reached out to us and asked if we were going to ever have anything available or they wanted something. So this was a good way for us to kind of gauge interest. So 35% of people said, yes, I want a tech shirt. Next after that, I think 14% said cotton shirt, 13% were kind of into decals and stickers. And, there were kind of some other suggestions. Actually, I think a hat was thrown in there as a suggestion. I didn't list it.
Yeah.
26% of people said nope.
Yep, which is
which
absolutely
okay. Totally understand. So tech shirts is actually something that I've wanted to make available for quite a while. But it's something that if we're going to do it, I want to do it right. I don't want to just throw our logo on a cheap shirt and make it available. There's websites that I could easily do that. And you could buy the shirt tomorrow if we wanted to. But I wouldn't expect you to get something or wear something that I myself wouldn't wear. So I think we'll definitely look to do the tech shirts at some point in time, but we want to make sure they're good looking, good quality, something you know, if we're going to get tech, I want something that you'll really be comfortable to run in.
Yeah.
And then keeping costs down is a big thing.
Right.
So I haven't quite figured out how to do that yet.
Right.
So if you have suggestions or companies,
let us know.
Let us know.
Well, I've done good quality, but at a good price.
Yeah, I've done shirts for our Napa teams, our Ragnar Napa teams, that I'm pretty happy with, but that's in volumes of 12. And I think it's a little bit more than what I'd want to set a price on.
Right.
For something like this. As far as the one thing actually we do have is window decals, like you would put on the inside of your car window or a cubicle. We actually do have a bunch of those. And at some point in the very near future, I'll actually put that on the website and make that available if you're interested in that.
Yeah.
We actually wanted them for our own cars.
Right.
Kind of help promote the podcast.
Yeah.
And make sure you can find us if you're driving down the freeway.
Right.
I don't know why you would, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, down the freeway. That would be real safe.
Yeah, it's one of those things I had to buy in bulk. So we have a bunch of those. So at some point, we're going to make that available. I just have to figure out kind of how to do that on the website. And that'll be there. So that was kind of the questions. And then after that, we just left everybody kind of a spot for comments, and that was probably the most helpful of everything because several of you took a lot of time and definitely gave us your feedback. And, you know, I will say overwhelmingly, the response was extremely very positive.
Yeah.
Extremely very positive.
Right. That's beyond extremely and very. Yeah. That's like...
Of course, nobody said like, oh, Mark's just making up crap words all the time and it makes no sense.
That's a good point. But that could be on the next survey. You can get some comments like that.
But no, overall, things were very positive. People said they loved the show and were... very excited and happy that you do enjoy the show. Obviously, if you didn't enjoy the show, I guess you wouldn't be listening to this right now.
That's true.
You probably wouldn't take the time to do the survey.
Yeah.
But, did you have any highlights from the comments?
Yeah. I mean, I had a couple. Can I read a couple?
Yes, please.
So there's one that said, I'd never done a trail race before, nor tried caramel and chocolate goose. Thanks for the time and effort you put into the podcast. So I think that kind of paints a picture of, I mean, it's basically what we want to do, you know, like just like share our stuff, you know, our running related, whether it's, you know, what we're eating, you know, the Rolo goo or, you know, doing trail races, whatever it is, just kind of sharing that with our running community, which is you guys. So that is very like positive affirmation of what we're doing.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, we're no different than you guys. We're just two runners here having a discussion.
Exactly.
And I think some people actually mentioned that.
Yeah.
That's what they liked about the show was, you know, we're basically just two runners here. Having a conversation about running, no different than you would have with your running friends back home, wherever that may be. And that's all we ever wanted it to be. We're not trying to sit here and be, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Answer and be able to answer every single question about running and try to be an expert or anything like that. You got questions. If we don't know the answer, we'll try to find the answer.
Right. We do our best.
We'll give you an opinion, but that's all it is. We're just a conversation of runners here.
Yeah. And that's actually one of the other comments I want to read that just said, love the conversational rapport.
There you go.
Keep up the great podcasting. So that was nice. And then in terms of, you know, like changing things up and adding interviews, you know, what you were saying earlier, you know, a person said, love the podcast as it is. Please don't change too much as it has a personal feel to it that us back of the Packers can relate to. And then maybe it would be nice to get interviews with some people involved in running, or some listeners who do a lot of races. And then you are real people. And that is comforting to know that there are people who feel similarly about running as I do and go through bad races and injuries, just like real runners do. Keep up the great work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything you wanted to share?
No, I think that's it.
Yeah.
Like I said, thank you again for taking the time. Kind of just helped us to make sure that we're on a track.
Right.
That at least a lot of people are happy with. And that people are happy with different parts of the show, but definitely was a chance for us to kind of get some focus on, you know, if we did need to change anything, what would we need to change, or just make sure, you know, with certain parts of the show that we're kind of on the right track and kind of doing things right, you know.
Or like, sorry to cut you off, but like for the race report, okay, no, like keep doing them.
Yeah, no, because that's something.
I mean, we don't need to do more races, but, you know, keep doing the reports because people do enjoy them.
No, and that's something I had talked about. I think I specifically brought it up, like, oh, I think we're talking too much about race reports.
Right.
We need to cut that back, you know.
Yeah.
But if you enjoy it, then I got no problem talking about races because I do that all the time anyway. Right. So,
thanks for all the feedback. We do appreciate it and kind of know whether we're heading in the right direction for all you guys to keep listening or just make some slight modifications here and there.
Yeah. Like if everybody come back and said like, no, do a 30-minute podcast.
We're like,
then
okay.
We'd be like, ooh, we need
all right.
to
we will focus
pick
on
this
doing
up a little bit.
We will just speak faster.
So if you didn't have a chance to do the survey, remember, or if you did do the survey, you can always just send us an email or drop us a message on Facebook if you have any comments or suggestions for the show or if you like anything about the show or if you were doing something you don't like, let us know.
Yeah.
No guarantee we'll be able to change that. But,
right.
You know, if you don't like the fact that I'm mixing and making up new words all the time, then I don't know. I can't really stop doing that.
Right. You can try.
I can try.
Yeah. But I think it keeps things interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. That's going to kind of wrap it up, right?
Yep.
I was going to avoid this part, but in the future, but I guess next week, I really don't have anything to say here. Next week, we don't have too much going on, right? No races for a couple weeks. So unfortunately, no race report for a couple.
Couple
weeks. And you'll be at CJ and Run Oakland.
Which I did mention earlier.
You did mention on Saturday.
Saturday. So
what,
Oakland location, it's the first. So it's February 1st.
Okay.
At the Oakland location, I believe it's 9 a.m., but I'm not 100% on that. So, and it's 3-mile-ish run.
Okay.
And then info session after.
All right, cool. I guess that's going to do it. So we're out of here. If you're still running, even though this podcast ends, I think you should run a couple extra miles. No? All right.
Sure.
Just a suggestion. All right, we're out of here.
The website for the podcast is embracerunning.com. You could find us on Facebook at facebook.com/embracerunning. Send us any comments, questions, or feedback at feedback@embracerunning.com or leave us a voicemail at 925-400-7223. If you enjoy the show, give us a review on iTunes. So until next time, embrace running.